Today we're going to discuss the crucial role of training, whether it's hands-on, virtual, or a combination of the two. Certain training styles are more suited to specific contexts. Join us as we explore examples of how training enhances individual skill and comfort with system navigation.
Welcome back. This is RPI Tech Connect, and I'm your host, Chris Airy. Today, we're joined by the technical wizard, Jeremy Stoltzfus. Jeremy is a principal technical consultant at RPI. With over 20 years of experience in the Watson Infor community, he's got a solution for every problem your EOP throws your way. Jeremy, is there anything else you want to share?
Sure. Thanks, Chris. As Chris stated, my name is Jeremy Stoltzfus. I have been with RPI for almost 7 years now. And in that time, I've been working on various projects and upgrades and Cloud Suite implementations. My background, I've come from Lawson System Administrator for many years. I worked at a hospital healthcare system for about 10 years in another private company as Lawson System Administrator prior to that. With RPI, I work a lot doing, like I said, Cloud Suite implementations, a lot of focus on solutioning, process improvement. And another part of my RPI experience is I do a lot of training. So whether that's project training or the various boot camp training classes that we here offer at RPI.
Awesome, Jeremy. I'm glad to have you on the show today and appreciate that you actually mentioned a boot camp experience, because the meat of today's episode is going to be on training. I think with technology changing and AI becoming more prevalent, and ERP vendors like Infor rolling out new functionality, it's more important than ever, I think, for employees to kind of stay up to speed on systems.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what's interesting is that we've got a lot of folks that on the customer side that have resources, tech resources on their team to support their ERP system. And as the technology changes, especially when you move into a Cloud Suite environment, the technology has changed drastically from customers that are used to an on-premise installation. So there's a new tool set and a constantly evolving tool set that those people need to stay up to speed on to do their jobs.
It sounds like there's more resources now than I think ever before for kind of like staying up to speed, whether that's like, you know, YouTube videos or LinkedIn trainings or like, you know, virtual sessions. And then obviously there's the hands-on stuff that happens in person. But I imagine, you know, not every training is made the same. And some folks are going to, I guess, absorb more information in different environments than others. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you talk about different training forums or delivery mechanisms for training. Yeah, you've got some YouTube videos or some shorts that walk through very specific examples, and you can learn very quickly. You know, I myself find when I'm trying to uncover something or discover something new or pick up a new skill, I will try to find that a short training video or a script or an example of something that I can walk through and do. And it gives me that very focused knowledge. But when you're talking about a bigger picture, a larger tool set that requires a lot of digging into, an online training video is not necessarily the best approach for something like that.
Yeah. And you know, you as a boot camp instructor, I'm sure that you see just like the kind of impact that hands-on training in person in a new environment actually has on, you know, attendees and folks who are trying to, like, you know, improve their functional skills. So I'm curious though, with that background, how do you see these skills evolve in the 3-day time span that they're at a boot camp?
So at a boot camp, obviously, when we're doing those and any in-person training, really, you know, it's a very different mindset. You're typically 100% focused right, on the topic, there's an instructor who's making eye contact with you, and you're making eye contact with them, and you're trying to learn. You know, when I teach boot camps, I can tell who's not paying attention and who is, right? Just by looking around the room. When I'm teaching a web class or a webinar or something like that, I have no idea who's actually paying attention, if anybody's actually listening. So you do definitely pick up, and you as an attendee, you typically are more focused, and you are able to pick up and absorb more information because of that.
I have to ask, so when you can tell someone's not paying attention in the classroom, do you call on them? Is it like high school all over again?
No, I don't specifically call them out, but what I do try to do is maybe just start asking the class as a whole some questions to try to facilitate participation.
Yeah.
Nice. Just to make sure that people are getting engaged.
Nice. I think that's actually a big part of what separates, the in-person training sessions versus something online, is that there's an opportunity for more engagement, right? If you can tell someone's maybe tuning out, you can change your approach and try to, you know, get some response out of people by asking those questions.
Absolutely. And even, you know, as you're walking through hands-on exercises, right, that you might be teaching in the class. So, you know, when we do boot camps, we will teach a particular topic. We'll kind of walk through it on screen as a class, you know, present it. And then we'll give an exercise for each participant to walk through and get their own hands on it and touch it and repeat that exercise. And, you know, it gives us as instructors the opportunity to kind of walk around and try to help those people that might need a little bit more assistance. And then you have other people that kind of do things and might not do it exactly the way that I as an instructor think that it should be done. And that's okay, because there's other ways of doing the same thing. And when that type of thing happens, everybody in the class gets value from that, even including myself as an instructor.
Nice. And I imagine with this approach, you're trying to get folks to think about how they're going to apply like these learnings from the classroom in their own environments. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. For example, I taught a configuration console boot camp a couple of weeks ago, and as I'm going through various topics, you know, I'm watching a couple people in front of me that their wheels are kind of turning, and I could tell the one woman, she had a question or she had a thought kind of churning in her mind. And yet that's exactly what she was doing. She's like, wait, I think this is going to solve a problem that I have back at my job. And we talked through it, and it gave me an opportunity to kind of express, okay, well, here's how I would approach that. And yes, you're right. This is how you would do that. So it gave her some validation, and it gave her, I think, some confidence to be able to take those skills from the class and apply them in real life.
Nice. It's got to be a cool feeling to see like the immediate impact you're having on these folks in these trainings, right? I mean, the story you just told here, you know, like you could see that. No matter what, if nothing else, when this attendee leaves and goes back to work, what they learned from you is automatically going to have a benefit in their company. Yep. Awesome. Love it. Love to hear it. So with that though, like between when an attendee shows up on day one and by the time they leave, do you feel like, is it like an expedited college course, and you send them on their way and they get their certifications and they feel like they're pros in the application, or how would you describe that if you could?
Yeah. I mean, I think if anything, it boosts confidence, right? So like in 3 days, there is so much that can be done with Configuration Console that it's hard to pack it all into 3 days. Right. And that's just one topic that we teach. Right. And so for that particular example, I can only do so much, and I can give certain examples, but to give to just watch that transformation of the participant learning and being able to adapt. And, you know, I try to do similar exercises and repeat things to kind of help them get the concepts. And you can just watch them progress over those 3 days.
Nice. Well, that you raise a good point there, because you can only do so much in 3 working days, right? And that begs the question, is like, how often should folks be training, you know, and on what occasions, on kind of regular basis, or when's a good time to institute training? There's some questions I have there about the frequency and the situations where training is like, you know, ideal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously when you're doing these Cloud Suite implementation projects during implementation, there's going to be several periods of training, right? Different topics that need to be covered throughout the project. When I approach a training for a specific project, I try to train when it's going to be used by the customer. So I don't train on a development tool at the very beginning of a project if they're not going to use that tool and use that knowledge for another 4 months, right? Mm. So that kind of just helps to align the project goals with the training goals, and keeps it moving and being able to apply what you've learned in a training immediately is critical. But then ongoing, as you're taken live, you're now live on Cloud Suite, right? You're utilizing these things. You can become kind of stagnant, especially with the technology that's changing as quickly as it does within the Cloud Suite environment. You have to stay up on top of the new features coming out and all of the new technologies and how the tools are evolving and changing. But then even going in, you know, so you're live for a couple of years and maybe one of your key resources leaves, right? And they're replaced. Well, they might not have had that background with the implementation to get the in-depth training that is required to continue to be able to support that system. So ongoing, as new employees are hired into a customer's site, right? That's when training needs to be repeated. For the benefit of those new people that might not have been part of the original implementation.
Sure. There's two things that I want to unpack. And the first was this, you know, the timeliness of the training. I feel like more often than not, if you learn a new skill or you learn how to do something new, if you're not immediately putting that into practice, you're going to lose it. You know, it's like, if you don't use it, you lose it type thing. Like, and training, I guess, is no different. If you're going to learn something and you're not going to use it in any time in the near future, then you're probably not going to remember it when it is time to do, like, you know, apply that. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then the other part of that you mentioned is this changing in staff. And so it sounds like what you're saying is that when there's a change in staff, it's a great time for training, because the new folks coming in may not have had that exposure during the implementation, or there might be some nuance within the system that they're just not familiar with. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I've seen it happen, you know, the evolution of the Lawson product into the Infor Cloud Suite now, right? I've seen customers that have been live on Lawson for 20 years or more. And the people that are running the system today aren't the people that were there usually during implementation. And, you know, it becomes a whisper down the lane type of thing, right? Where you have the original people that trained the next group of people that came in that were working and doing the job. And then something gets lost in translation, right? And then the next group of people kind of come in and take over, and it gets lost in translation. And so you lose that depth of knowledge just naturally over time.
It's like the telephone game, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Each time someone comes in, that's like a fragmented portion of how it was supposed to be done. It's just trickled on over time, right?
Exactly.
Oh, man. Okay, so cool. And the training here, you know, you think about the impact that training is having on attendees. And that's, you know, it's helping them do their jobs better, but it's also helping with like career development too, right? And you got to think that if sending somebody to a training session where they have 3 days of hands-on training and they're learning how to like really optimize use of a particular application, it's making them feel more confident in their own ability. And then they're taking that, those learnings back to their organization, and then they're doing their jobs better. And it's just like all these really great benefits that are happening. And you would think that the organization spending the time to invest in, like, you know, future development and skills like that, it's got to be a good retention tool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I look back on when, and not only a retention tool, but also very cost effective. I look back on my time as a system administrator at the healthcare system that I work for, right? I didn't have, you know, we didn't have a big training budget, and I wasn't taking a lot of training classes. I took a few here and there, but I had to spend time figuring things out on my own, right? And that time might have been a couple of weeks or a month or two until I really tried, really understood something that I was trying to apply. And, you know, if you take that investment of a 3-day or, you know, whatever hands-on course where you're able to really dive in, focus, and really get a good understanding of the topics, you know, I think it's more cost effective because you've got that focus and you're not stumbling figuring things out.
That reminds me of something I actually talked about with Keith on another episode. But it's like, don't reinvent this wheel. If someone's figured out how to best, like, use this solution, leverage the resources. Like, I understand folks are more than capable of, like, spending the time and learning it themselves. But like, there are ways to, you know, I guess, optimize use with the solution. And there are resources to do so.
Absolutely. Right? Yes, absolutely.
Love to hear it. Training is a powerful resource, and, you know, organizations, they realize that, but when you buy something, it's like, you don't know what you don't know, and you're only going to get the most, like, I guess, return on investment in a solution if folks know how to use that system.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us. But before we're getting close to time, but before we wrap up, I was wondering if you could tell folks today one thing about training, what would it be?
Oh,
yeah. One sentence.
One sentence.
60 seconds starts now.
60 seconds. No, I think, you know, off with all of the, what we talked about today, you know, exploring the different training avenues, right? Whether it's hands-on, whether it's an online course, right? And really try to understand what is the best training delivery mechanism for the topic that I want to uncover. You know, if it's something that's going to be a little bit more in depth and a little bit harder to understand, probably in-person training is the best option. If it's a quick task that should only take a couple of hours, right, then yeah, you could probably watch an online tutorial for 20 minutes and figure out and get a pretty good understanding of it. Very specific topic, right? So that would be my, I think, advice is just really kind of make sure that you're choosing the best training delivery mechanism for the topics that you're trying to learn.
That makes sense. Depending on the type of support and skill you're looking to improve, there's going to be learning situations that are maybe more ideal, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, cool, man. Thanks for sharing that with us today. And for those tuning in, thanks for listening. We just so happen to have several boot camp sessions coming up later this year, and several of them will be led by Jeremy, who joined us today. So if you're looking to level up your skills and learn from the master himself, don't be shy. If you have a question about today's episode or something else in general, feel free to contact us at podcast@rpic.com. Again, that's podcast@rpic.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.